Lord Nityananda and the Appearance Day, New Vrindavan, 2015.
Jaya Jaya.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 5, verse 7. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Report of his divine grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. Sri Sudhir Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the seventh of the first 14, which are nuptial verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse establishes the glory and identity of Lord Nityananda, whose appearance day is one of the two most important days of the entire year, according to some calculations. This is a very important tatra to understand and on this day to contemplate in pursuit of the blessings of Lord Nityananda, who was the original guru, the husband and master of Janadevi, who was the personification of Guru Bhakti. And as these series of verses establish, he is not different than Lord Balaram, who serves Lord Krishna so intimately in infinite ways, while carrying out all the work of creation in his expansions of Karnadakshya Vishnu, Garbhadakshya Vishnu, Giridakshya Vishnu, Sheshanaga Sankarshan. Although he's not different than Balaram, he is, in a sense, from the perspective of mercy and the gift he bestows, greater than Lord Balaram, because Lord Balaram, he gives the treasure of Krishna. Lord Nityananda is the proprietor of the storehouse of love of God, whose very possession, his very possession, is Lord Chaitanya. And in granting service to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda offers what is not available by any other means, and that is service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And the only means of entrance into those sweet and holy groves of Vrindavan Balaram killed many demons, as did Krishna. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya killed the demoniac propensity, not by weapons, but by the superior agency of love. Lord Nityananda gives the treasure of Gaura Bhakti, Lord Chaitanya is his property, as we find in the exchange between Raghunath Das, later to be Goswami, and Lord Nityananda, who, in Das Goswami, understood that the incessant impediments he was experiencing in attaining shelter of Lord Chaitanya could only be rectified by approaching Lord Nityananda. And he offered his prostrate obeisances from a distance, and Lord Nityananda called out to him, "You are a thief," meaning that you're attempting to steal someone else's property without going through the proper channels and the Paniyati festival, the Dandan Lahotsava, the celebration of the punishment, very joyfully followed to establish this principle. Lord Chaitanya, beginning the Sankirtan movement, ordered the devotees to go to every door, every person, every house, ultimately to every town or village, and beg everyone, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Krishna Kota Siksha, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadami, please chant the holy name of Krishna, serve Krishna, worship Krishna, develop your love for Krishna, because Krishna is everything, our father, our mother, the treasure of our hearts. Lord Nityananda applied that instruction in his own way. Bhasha Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga, Namare. Take the holy name of Lord Gauranga. Worship Lord Gauranga. Serve Lord Gauranga. He is the treasure of your heart. And if you do, you become my life and soul as well. It is only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that we can tread the path to Vraja, meaning Vraja Bhakti. The birth and early pastimes of Lord Nityananda was unknown in Navadvipa when he mysteriously appeared in the house of Nandanacharya one day and joined the devotees. And even Sri Vaitacharya, the all-knowing Karnadaksha Vishnu, imitating the Smarta Brahmana, commented that we don't know who this Avadhut is, where he comes from, his family lineage, his guru. This mysterious madman has just appeared amongst us. And I'm taking prasad with him, I will use my caste and creed as well. That was his playful way of glorifying Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, as in the mood of a cowherd boy, which is predominant in him, was very playful. And his association made all the devotees very playful. Although their mission was the most serious matter in all of creation, they were very childlike and playful in pursuing it. The details of his birth and childhood became known much later on, after the Panchatattva had departed this world, and the first grand celebration of Gaurapurnima was held in Kekshavik Ram, where Janava Devi presided, after which she pursued her heart's desire of pilgrimage to Ekka Chakra, Udnawatam Das Thakur, Ramachandra Kaviraj, and some other devotees. And when they approached Lord Nityananda's village, and he saw at a distance all the devotees in that party, not knowing why, became overwhelmed with a surge of emotion that left them all crying tears which would melt even the stones. They were on a path which was lined with shade trees, and a cool breeze off the river mitigated their fatigue. The atmosphere was most pleasing, and they felt deeply happy, but they did not know why. And they saw on that path coming toward them an old brahmana walking with the help of a stick, very slowly, and wondering why so many pilgrims had arrived on that day, because he was one of only a few devotees left in what was previously, even since ancient times, a thriving metropolis of bhakti, culture, and learning, and now lay in total ruins. And he was wondering, who are these Vaishnavas? And he stepped aside off the path as if to let them pass. But they understood, here is a guide who can reveal to us the unknown glories of this town, which now lies in utter ruins. So they seated him very respectfully and gathered around him and inquired, why this birthplace of Lord Nityananda, so important and glorious since time immemorial, now lay in ruins? And the Brahmana said, currently, this is true. Though the village has been glorious in opulent for a long history, it was the home of the Pandavas for some time. And they were content to live there forever. Until that night when Maharaj Yudhishthira had that dream, Balaram came to him and then transformed into a golden personality and revealed to Maharaj Yudhishthira, this is my village, my birthplace. Yudhishthira wanted to tell the Pandavas that they should stay there forever, but as Balaram transformed into a golden personality, Lord Nityananda, he told them, you have not reached the perfection of your life as yet. Go on to Navadvipdham, the town of my brother, and there you will attain the utmost perfection. So during the time of the Pandavas and long before, there are many temples and deities, the Brahman explained, who were worshipped here. There were many academies where learned pundits taught various branches of scripture. But now, the temples and the deities lie beneath the shifting course of the river, which was previously very wide and lined with beautiful fruit trees and bushes and flowers, filled with bees humming and butterflies and songbirds chanting kirtan. And even the forest animals were very gentle and kind. And all the inhabitants were very opulent. And most of the population was deeply learned, amongst whom a prominent astrologer prophesied that Lord Balaram would appear in this village one day. And his conclusion was supported by scriptural evidence and the astrological readings of all the pundits, prominent amongst whom was Oja, whose affection for all was excellent, whose wife was very sweet, but unhappy because she had no children, until one son was born at an auspicious time that was Hadaipandit, who also had a son. And with the birth of the son, who was Vivekananda, the drought which was plaguing the land ended. Gentle rain and flowers fell from the sky, and all ill temper and disappointment in all the land vanished. At the name-giving ceremony, the child was named Ram, as well as Nityananda. And he became the center of life for everyone and everything in Ekachakra. And everyone was enchanted by his sweetness, beauty, and charm. And the old Brahmin explained that whenever I was disturbed in my mind, I would go to Hadaipandit's house and take his child upon my lap, and all misery would vanish. That child was very gentle and playful. He played all the sports that Krishna enjoyed with his friends. But their play was reenactment of all the leelas of Krishna and various avatars, but mainly Krishna leela and Ram leela. And little Nitai, just young child, and none of these children had reached the age at which they could even read, and no one had taught them the pastimes in the scripture. Every day, little Nitai became the director and the main actor in the leelas that unfolded to the utmost specific details of how everyone should dress and think and feel and act and behave in the leelas. First, Nitai taught one of his boys how to become a cow, and to walk on four legs and go And she led the other boys, who became demigods, to the shore of the river. And they prayed. The cow prayed that, "I am Bhumi, the earth goddess, being so tormented by this unnecessary defense force of demons who pose as kings and kshatriyas and should be protecting me, but are actually torturing me. Please help." And then one of the boys hiding behind the rock, big rock on the shore of the river, said, "Don't worry, I will descend soon." So then the boys ran to a house and closed the doors and windows with blankets to make it very dark, because that was Kamsa's dungeon, where Krishna took birth. Midnight. And Vasudev carried him across the river in exchange with Mother Yashoda's daughter. And the parents were watching every day the pastimes of Krishna. And Nitai would fashion these monsters and demons out of reeds, like Kaliya. And then he would dance so beautifully on the hoods of this demon. And every day they killed different demons. And Ram Lila was especially convincing. And when Indrajit hurled the missile, which is just a lotus, it struck Nitai in the chest and he fell down unconscious, all life symptoms suspended. All the children gathered around, and their cries rose with an anguish unlike the previous day, And all their parents came running to see what was the cause. And they saw Nitai, lifeless, circled by his friends, all screaming and crying in deep anguish. What to do? But then one of the men in the assembly said, I saw a drama one time when Vishwamitramuni asked Dasarath for his son. And sometime thereafter, Dasarath died in separation. It was just a drama. This is a drama. He's not dead. He's waiting for Hanuman to bring the Gadama to the hill. And then Hanuman remembered his act and he ran off and went through all the details. He met the ascetic. He must take prasad. No, I don't have time. Well, at least bathe. And the crocodile dragged him under and he killed the crocodile and he saw that the sage was a demon and said, your Ravana is a dog. My Ram will kill him. And then he brought the hill, the child who is the Kaviraj took the herb and placed it under his nose and his eyes fluttered and everyone came back to life. And every day, everyone was immersed in the pastimes of Krishna, and hence, even Lord Prabhupada confirmed, your name is Nityananda, your form is Nityananda, your pastimes are Nityananda, everything is Nityananda about you, eternal joy, which is found only in absorbing our hearts in Krishna, which is only possible by the mercy of the original Guru, Lord Nityananda. This went on for 12 years, at which point a mystery sannyasi appeared in town. And Hedai Pandit, very eager to serve such a sadhu, requested, please spend the night in my home. He said, I will, if you promise that you will give me what I ask for. And that made him a little uneasy. I've told you my house, my everything is yours. Yes, come. And they immersed themselves all night, which passed like an instant, in the glories and topics and all the names of Krishna. And when morning came, Mr. Sannyasa said, I will now ask for a request of you. I'm going on pilgrimage. I need a companion. And your child wants to go to the holy places. Please give him to me. And I upon this immediate understanding and realization was that I now have become Dasarath, the father of Ram, and this sannyasi is like Vishwamitramuni, who's asking not for my son, but for my life. What to do? He consulted with his wife. She said, I think this is Akrura come to take away Balaram. But your wish is my command, she told him, and he was contemplating. If he failed to honor his word, he and his family would be doomed. And what? Why does the Lord treat his devotees like this? Because it is that standard of surrender which attracts the Lord to appear in the homes, in the lives, and in the hearts of his devotees. So, the sannyasi walked off with Lord Nityananda, but Padmavati fell down as if dead. And the whole village was lifeless. And when they all came back to consciousness, the different men in the village were running down every path, searching for the sannyasi, taking their own sons with them, wanting to trade. Take my son. Don't take Nityananda. But the sannyasi had vanished, along with the tie. He searched everywhere, but not the life of their town was gone. They gathered together, the astrologers met, and they discussed the prophecy from long before that Lord Balaram would appear in that town someday, and they concluded the prophecy has already been fulfilled. In detail, just like the prophecy said, all misfortune and ill temper vanished with his appearance. Flowers showered from the sky. Everyone was happy. The land was bountiful. We did not recognize him. And now, just like Balaram went on pilgrimage while the battle of Kurukshetra raged, now he died. And the Buddha Balaram is traveling to the holy places, leaving us behind. They remembered the Leelas of the prophecy and how Nitai had perfectly fulfilled them. One pundit said, there was only one thing they didn't understand. In the childhood play, the boys would enact every day, and they recognized them all. The various pastimes of Krishna, Ramachandra, Varaha, Nrisimha, but there was one they didn't recognize. When Nitai was dressed in saffron, holding a danda, and all the children were dancing around him in kirtan. For 3 months, no one ate. They could only call out, Nitai, come sit on the Dipadit especially. He was crying out, delusional, Nitai, come sit on my lap. Come bathe in the pond. Come eat. Come see how the fields, how the crops are doing in the fields. And then one day, he called his wife in great excitement. Look on the horizon. The sannyasi is returning with little Nitai. They're coming home. But the vision vanished. There was no sannyasi returning. The vision dissolved, and they gave up their lives. After which, all the residents left Ekachakra. The Brahmin continued, except for me. Just a few others. They all left, not saying where they were going. But myself, though the town is in ruins and few remain, my life is sustained by touring the places of Nitai's childhood leelas. And here, where we sit now, Nitai would have a picnic with his friends and play like gopas. He now lives on only in my memories. I had hoped that in this life I would see him return, but destiny has not favored me in this way. Now, I stay here with the prayer that life after life, I will take my birth in Ekachakra until the day that Nitai returns. And with the last breath in every life, I will be calling out the name Nitai Chan. At this point, the elderly Brahmana broke down crying, as did all the devotees. When they composed themselves after some time, he agreed to lead them through the pastime places in and around Ekachakra. They actually only made it to one place. That that was the ruins of Hari Bhagat's house. At which point the Brahmana was so choked up with emotion, he was unable to speak. And he had to return to his own home, and the devotees did not even attempt to stop him. The devotees entered the ruins of Hari Bhagat's house and immersed themselves in kirtan, which continued throughout the night. They were all feeling such a strong attachment to the place that they could not sleep. And Janavadevi especially was tormented by feelings of misfortune that she had never met her in-laws. Her life was bereft of the joys inherent to her husband's household. And late at night, she drifted into a dreamlike state, not knowing it was a dream, taking it to be real. She beheld the beauty of the town, which was enchanting, as if every residence had been constructed and designed by Vishwakarma himself. And Hariprada's house was glorious, filled with loving attendants, and Hari Pandit and Padmavati were showering their affection upon Janamadevi and her sister Vishuddha, who was there, although she had long since departed this world as well. Deeply immersed in the state of joy, the dream broke. And trying to drift back into that state of samadhi, actually, it was. Janavadevi found herself in a garden beside the house on the shore of the river, which was again flowing, full of water. And the breeze was cool and gentle. In the center of the garden was a throne made of jewels upon which Nitai sat, with Janava on one side, Vishuddha on the other, exchanging betel with him, loving attendants whose motion was like dance and whose communication was song, dressed very beautifully, were serving. As Nitai exchanged betel and garlands and embraces and gifts with all his loving servants. And immersed in that euphoric state, Janavadevi's dream again ended. She awoke with this feeling that she would be unable to ever leave Lake Chakra. The attachment was too strong and deep, until the voice from an unseen person instructed her, "You must leave this place immediately." And they did. And as they were leaving on the path outside the village, there was a drunkard from a Brahmana family, acting and laughing and dancing in the most shameful way. And Janavadevi felt such compassion upon him. She prayed to Lord Garanga, "Please bestow your mercy." She pleaded with him, "Please take to devotional life." And he was immediately rectified and became thereafter a very saintly devotee who was the pilgrims in Janavadevi's group congratulated. So for 12 years, Nityananda went to all the places of pilgrimage, culminating in his arrival in Vrindavan. We're still in the mood of a young gopa, would play with some seen and some unseen friends. Like an innocent child, he would only eat if someone gave him something. But in his heart, he was seeing, my brother is enacting his triumphs of learning in Navadvipa Dhamma in the role of the Yugavatar. When he completes that, and he begins to distribute bhakti, and inaugurates the Sankirtan movement, I will come then to join him. And then one day, the visions in his heart revealed that that time had come, and he left. And his arrival in Navadvip was House of Nandacharya, where he was playing hide-and-seek. And Lord Gaurang had already revealed, I had a dream last night. A golden chariot arrived at my house, pulled by magnificent steeds. And a colossal person whose complexion was golden, and he held a plow, and he asked, is this the house of the Nimaya Pandit? He said, yes. Who are you? He said, I'm your brother. And tomorrow we will meet. Lord Gauranga told the devotees, and he speculated, has Balaram come to town? He said, go find him. He's here. He's arrived. And he searched everywhere. Came back at night. He cannot find the person he described, Lord Gauranga told him, because he's playing hide and seek. He can't hide from me. And Lord Gauranga led Sankirtan party to the house of Nandanacharya. And inside the door, he saw Itaya. And then, the Sankirtan movement really began. And then, the merciful distribution of the holy name commenced with that order to go to every town, every person, every home, and beg them to take the holy name of Krishna. And then he died with his Sankirtan companion, Haridas Thakur, met Jagai Madai, and you know the sequence of events that follow that. What you might not know is after Jagai and Madai were forgiven and actually attained Krishna Prema, Madai was still haunted by the thoughts of what he had done to Lord Nityananda, who approached him in such a gentle, loving, kind mood, begging him to take the treasure of Gaura Bhakti, and he assaulted him with intent to kill. It's interesting and meaningful that even after being forgiven, we still have the responsibility of cleaning up our act. And the devotees and even Lord Gauranga would console and encourage Madhai. Lord Chaitanya would personally serve him prasad. He couldn't eat, he could only cry. Until one day, wandering alone through the fields, seeking Itai alone and finding him, Madhai fell at his feet. Now remember, these six archetypal demons of creation, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Dantavakra, Shishupal, who are the personification of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, and were liberated by the Lord's mercy, had all returned in one form named Jagai. And his brother was even worse, because he committed something that none of those other demons had, and that is Guru Aparad. And he was tormented, washing, falling at the feet of Lord Nityananda, washing them with the tears flowing from his eyes. He confided that, I cannot overcome the guilt and shame of the remembrance of what I did to you. Lord Nityananda was in his usual playful, gentle, sweet mood. He said, Madhai, you are like my child. Is a father offended if the child playfully also know that you reside in the hearts of all living entities as their eternal friend and guide. And I have abused, insulted, mutilated so many living entities in this way. I have offended you untold times, usually in a drunken stupor that I cannot remember. Scripture tells us if we offend someone, especially a Vaishnava, we must seek out that person, beg his forgiveness. How could I find them? Most of them killed by me. Day and night I'm tormented with vague recollections of orphaned children, widowed mothers. The result of those who I have killed out of envy, like the endless waves of the Ganges, they just haunt me day and night. How to find them? How to beg forgiveness? In a drunken stupor, I could not recognize them now. I could not remember them. How could I find them? And I know that you are none different from Balaram. And I know how he distributes his mercy. When Kalindi only hesitated to come to answer his call, you took your plow, and you carved a new channel, and you brought her to you by force. And your body, which is so soft and delicate and tender, that Lord Garuda finds, or Krishna finds great pleasure accepting you as his couch, that body I have assaulted and caused you to bleed. When you were Lakshma, attacked by Indrajit, you killed him. When Dvavita simply came to Braja and made funny faces at you and the gopis, you took away his life for his offensive behavior. When Rukmi insulted you, he killed him. When Ramaharshan Sutta was blessed with long life by the sages themselves, he merely failed to show you proper respect, you killed him. Duryodhana's whole dynasty was annihilated simply because of heeding or neglecting your words. If one's very life is at stake for neglecting or hesitating or disrespecting you, what is the depth of hell worthy for someone like me, who struck you in the head and caused you to bleed, for which you have given me the treasure of Gauranga Prem? How to assimilate these contradictory feelings? And I responded, serve Mother Ganges and the pilgrims as well by making a bathing ghat so that they can conveniently become purified and they will think favorably of you in the process. And that way, all your grief and shame and guilt will be washed away by the mercy of Mother Ganges. Circumambulating the bird three times, Vadai took spade in hand and single-handedly carved out that bathing ghat. And the pilgrims would come, but they were skeptical at first. Is this really Vadai, the tyrant of Nadia, in the mood of serving pilgrims? Is it an act? Is it safe? Is it really him at all? And then The vengeance of those who lived under his terrors began to surface. And one man took a stone and hurled it at Madai, and it struck him. And Madai bowed down to that person. He said, "I hope you feel justified now." And he handed the stone back to him. And the the descendants of Madai became proud of their ancestor who stood there for the rest of his life on the bank of the Ganges, serving the pilgrims to memorialize the unparalleled mercy of Nityananda. So when Lord Garanga took sannyas, took up residence in Puri, he one day took Lord Nityananda aside and said that I promised to inundate the world with Krishna prema, which would flood every town and village. That won't happen if I'm living here like a hermit and you're staying with me. You are the proprietor and the storehouse of the mellows of love of God. Now it is your time to distribute that treasure to a needy and suffering world. So when he died, took the orders of Lord Garanga to heart. Mahaprabhu was specifically referring to Bengal as a starting point. So he returned there and he died and made his base of operations at the house of Raghava Pandit. And then they would have kirtan, day and night. He took the 12 gopals with him, amongst whom was, we'll get to that later, but these gopals, the intimate associates of Lord Nityananda, were totally in the mood of gopas. So during the kirtan, they would become so joyful. They would go out and they'd embrace banyan trees and betel trees and just uproot them and dance with them, which might sound a little like ecologically unfriendly if you weren't to acknowledge that the trees were liberated. And then the village children dancing with these gopas would be so much infused with spiritual potency, they would do the same. They'd uproot these huge groves of banyan trees and dance with them, and the trees would be liberated. And going out on Sankirtan, Lord Nityananda and his entourage would dress as gopas, complete even with little ropes for herding cows. And they were just in the mood of herding cows while they distributed the holy name. And his gaze would infuse anyone and everyone with deep love. And then one day, Lord Nityananda felt the urge to decorate himself in the finest silks and ornaments. And he was enchanting. And the devotees were dancing in kirtan. And he told Raghava Pandit, "You devotees have decorated me so nicely with all these flower garlands across his chest and on the top knot and everywhere, but I really like kadamba flowers. I live in a kadamba grove. Can you give me some kadamba flowers?" Raghava Pandit said, "My lord, it's winter. Well, they don't blossom here now." He said, "Well, just look. Look in your garden. You might find one somewhere." Raghava Pandit went out, and his lemon tree was full of blossoming kadamba flowers, which they picked and made garlands and offered it to Lord Nityananda. And they began swaying, and his eyes rolled and became kind of... And the fragrance of the kadamba flowers permeated the whole atmosphere. But then, during the kirtan, that fragrance changed to damanaka flowers. And they were looking around. Where's that coming from? is full of Kadamba flowers. There is no Dhammanaka flowers to be found. Where was the source of the fragrance that is driving everyone mad? And they turned to Nitai and he said, I'll tell you the mystery. My brother is in Puri wearing a garland of Dhammanaka flowers. But you're chanting so nicely. He has come here to dance with you. You can't see him, but you can smell the sweet fragrance of his garland. And a whole month would pass that, you know, the village boys, they wouldn't go home, they wouldn't eat. And their parents didn't mind. They were happy that they were in the kirtan with the gopas. And then Lord Nityananda realized these children haven't eaten for a whole month. So then, in a mood, which was similar to what you would see with Srila Prabhupada distributing cookies to the children. And then the not-so-little children, after the children got cookies, could get ours also. In a similar mood, Lord Nityananda, like a loving father, fed all those children to compensate for keeping them in the kirtan for a month during which they were not able to eat. And then, you know, on the way, and every day they were out in the mood of gopas on Sankirtan. But amongst the 12 gopas, one, Gadadhar Das, was actually Chandakanti. So when the boys were in the mood of gopas, Chandakanti was more in the mood of a Saki. He's the personification of Srimati Radharani's golden effulgence. So when the gopas were playing, you know, wrestling, he'd be, anybody want to buy some yogurt? And then one day, in the midst of the kirtan, he became so out of control because nearby there was a fanatical, tyrannical Muslim extremist terrorist who everyone feared mortally. And nobody, except the Muslim fanatics, would go anywhere near this person. And the devotees and Hindus kept a good distance from him at all times. So Gadadhar Das, during the kirtan, became so intoxicated with love of God and the concomitant mercy overflowing from his heart, he danced in the middle of the night right into the Muslim's house. And his guards and family members were speechless, in disbelief, immobilized, and he pronounced to them, I have come to tell your cousin he'd better chant Hare Krishna or I'll cut off his head. And hearing that from the inside quarters of the house, the cousin came running out enraged and raving and fuming when he saw Gadadhar Das, like this sweet, innocent, harmless gopa. He was like paralyzed. He said, what brings you to my house at this time of the night? And Gadadhar Das said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have descended to inspire everyone in this world to chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy, and everyone has complied except you. And the Kazi was stupefied. He said, he didn't know what to do. He said, all right, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. And then hearing that, Gadadhar Das, he began to dance. The mission continued and expanded due to the efforts of Jahnava Devi. long after Nita had departed this world. And her accomplishments were phenomenal. Multitudes of Muslims and Buddhists became Vaishnavas, Lechas and Yavanas transformed. Women awarded the same status of men in devotional circles and culture. She heard the dictations of Nitai long after his departure from this world and reciprocated them in Vipralamba, that world where there is no division, no cessation. And her Leela was concluded by her ascending the altar of Gopinath, with whom she has esoteric relationship, in revealing her ontological form as the dancing Anandamantri at the right side of Gopinath, which became this deity thereafter known as Anandakanai Rai, the worshipful devotion of Janma Devi in her ontological form, along with Radha and Krishna, became the focus of devotees in the line of Janma Devi. So, there is a gulf dividing the world of illusion from the land of truth. It is unbridgeable by all resources of this world, physical, mental, intellectual, academic. The only bridge, the only link to cross over to the other side is the mercy of Lord Nityananda, which, as Guru Tattva, enables, inspires, guides the devotees to serve in the proper mood and manner. And hearing his Leela awards the treasure of love of God and grants eligibility for his service. It is only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that one becomes fortunate and eligible to enter into Gaura Leela, wherein the treasure of Krishna Prem awaits, whereby the qualification to tread the path to Braj is found, culminating in the shelter of service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the mood of the Vrijavasis, which is the ultimate gift of Lord Nityananda and can only be achieved by his mercy, which is so profuse today, that we take shelter of his pastimes and remembrance and pray for his blessings, that we can properly serve his representative, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
There was one question this morning. One devotee was asking Dhamadhar, who spoke this morning on Lord Chanda, that Jagai and Madai, they were previously worshippers in the heavenly planet adopted by Gupta, and they were cursed to take it. And apparently Jagai and Madai were like the fourth.
Lord Nityananda explained in a very condensed manner, as it took Jiva Goswami on Parikala of Navadvipa Dham, the reason for the very concealed nature of Gaura Leela, which is an elaborate topic, but suffice it to say now, that the glory of Lord Gauranga, his Leela, his purpose, had to remain secret until his Leela was concluded. basically because he came to experience being a devotee, which he could not do if his mood was disturbed by the recognition of everyone that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all the references which verify and reveal that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take birth in 1486 in Nadia had to be concealed in such a way that only the very wise devotees who would not disrupt his mood could discern the treasure of the Vedas, which is covered from ordinary perception. So if it was explained in the Bhagavatam or anywhere that Jaya Vijaya, after the three births which fulfilled the curse, actually, by their own desire, came back again, it would make it obvious that Lord Vairagya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is one of the confidential truths that needed to be concealed until his legal is completed and concluded. So everything was arranged in such a way as to protect his mood, to facilitate his experiencing what he came for, which is to experience. But it is to